So I'm a really bad Scrabble player, but as I was preparing this homily, I found my best score ever, and it's going to go up onto the screen right now. So what I have done here is I have created a slide that has the words conversion and conversation in a cruciform shape. And as I thought about these two words, the thing that struck me was the following. The word conversation just has two more letters in it than the word conversion, an A and a T. Another way of saying this would be to point out that a cross, for that's what the letter T is added to the word conversation. And when that T is added to our conversation, it makes all the difference. So this evening, I want to talk to you about these two words. I want to talk to you about the word conversion, and I want to talk to you about the word conversation, because these words, I think, are at the heart of this evening's liturgy. What is it that sets us apart as human beings from the rest of the wonderful creation that God has made? Well, one thing that is most significant is the capacity that we have for language. It is this ability to speak that helps to identify us as being made in the image of God. Words shape who we are. Words shape how we engage and live in the world. Words are also God's way of communicating with us. And in today's reading from Exodus and from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what we have emphasized is the centrality of liturgy as the way by which God speaks to us. Listen again to one verse from our Exodus reading. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. I want to highlight two words, the word remembrance and the word ordinance. What are we doing when we remember something? We are recollecting, or to put it a little bit differently, we are recollecting, bringing together again. And at the very heart of these 3 days is a work of recollection, recollecting. What are we doing today, tomorrow, Saturday? We're hearing the same story. We're hearing the same words. We are recollecting these wonderful scriptures, these stories, because they help to define who we are. We use language to identify ourselves as Christians. But the word ordinance is another word that is connected to this word remembrance. For you see, an ordinance is a direction, a command, a way to put things into order. And that's what we do when we recollect. We are putting things into order. And one of the things that we need more than anything else is to order our lives, to recollect who we are in relation to who Jesus Christ is. And that's what this evening is all about. The Jewish people for thousands of years kept what is called, and they continue to do so today, the Jewish Seder, where they remembered the great act of deliverance that happened as God delivered them from Egypt. Well, St. Paul, as a Jew, understood in his bones the Passover. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he understands that now what Jesus is doing is he's recollecting the Passover, but he is now going to give it its full expression and definition. So what does St. Paul say? For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you. In other words, I remembered what the Lord gave to me, and now I am passing it on to you so that you will remember it. And by gum, there are more than 12 of us in the upper room this evening. Look at, we're all here. Because we are doing what St. Paul said. St. Paul was doing what Jesus said. Jesus was taking the Passover and fulfilling its meaning. And that is what liturgy is all about. Liturgy brings together both words and actions to help us come to what? A deeper conversion. Because that's what the liturgy is for. The liturgy, of course, is to touch our minds. But the liturgy is to grab our hearts. And on this night, it also grabs your nose because we use incense. But the point is this. This is, and maybe I put a little bit too much in there, sorry. The point, though, is this. That God wants us to engage all of our being in knowing Him. And when this kind of conversion happens, it truly does affect us. Let me explain a little bit more how this, I think, works. What do we have here? We have the written Word of God. Written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. There are lots of words here, lots of conversations going on in this book. But when the lector comes to the ambo, he or she doesn't read these words to him or herself and then sit down. No, they proclaim these words orally. They give voice to God's written word. And then the homilist hopes that he can help you to better understand that written word that has become the oral word. But then it moves from being the oral word to become the imparted word. In other words, it's imparted in our hearts. It's becoming part of us. But here's the beautiful thing about the liturgy and the Mass. As it becomes the imparted word, at the very end of the Mass, we won't do it tonight because tonight's Mass is actually not coming to an end. It's going to carry on tomorrow with Good Friday and then on Holy Saturday. But usually at the end of the Mass, what will the priest say? Depart in peace. Go forth. Why? Because now you and I, having heard the word, having it imparted into our lives, we are to become the living word in the world. And that's what conversion is all about. It's about us coming to this place of knowing that God has gripped our hearts, He has gotten hold of our minds, and He is changing us. When the priest prays the solemn blessing at the Mass during Passiontide, the first thing he prays to the congregation are these words. May God the Father of mercies, who has given you an example of love and the passion of His only begotten Son, grant that by serving God and your neighbor, you may lay hold of the wondrous gift of His blessing. That's it. Serving God, serving our neighbor. That's how we become the living word. And as we become that living word, the blessing says that we would lay hold of the wondrous gift of His blessing. The written word, becoming the oral word, becoming the imparted word, becoming the living word. That is how conversion happens. And as that conversion happens, look back at my Scrabble board. And do you notice something? Do you see where the word conversation and the word conversion intersect? It is at the letter R. When we discover that our lives are part of the great liturgical story, which is the conversation that never ends, then something happens to us. Our conversations begin to change. We become a people who more and more guard our speech. And we learn something. We say, oh yes, every conversation is to have a cross in it. And if it's true that every conversation has a cross in it, this affects the way how we speak to our spouses, how we speak to our children, how we speak to the people with whom we live, we work, and beloved, most importantly, how we speak to ourselves. Because I think some of the most disreputable conversations that go on in your life and in mine are the one we speak to me. That's why we need the cross. That's why we need conversion. Because we need to have all of those internal conflicts that tell us lies to give way to the true story, to the true conversation which is the conversation of God's love. One last thing I want to say. We think of conversation primarily in its verbal form. But I was looking at the etymology dictionary, and way back in the 14th century, there was a usage of the word conversation where it was used as a noun. And listen to what I discovered. Conversation, the place where one lives and dwells, and the manner of conducting oneself in the world. I like that. The place where we dwell, the way we conduct ourselves in the world. How are we to conduct ourselves in the world? Well, by two things. Think again of our letter R. First of all, we have to raise our eyes to the cross. We have to raise our eyes to Jesus Christ. And in today's gospel, he said, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done, how I've washed your feet. Look at me. See what I've done. And as we raise our eyes to Jesus, then we are to learn to raise our eyes to look one another in the eye. The word reconciliation is a beautiful word. And the heart of that word is the word cilia, which means hair or lashes, eyelashes. And so the whole idea behind this word reconciliation is we're learning to look one another in the eye. And I would guarantee the times when we cannot do that is because of the way we have spoken to one another. It has been because of the nature of our conversations. And so, Jesus says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done. Conversion, conversation. That's why Jesus ordained priests. Because you see, we need particular people, men, who have understood that in a very special way, their lives are to be conformed to the cross. That their lives are about daily conversion. Their lives are about embodying in their very being the kind of conversation that their people say, I know where you dwell. You dwell in the heart of Jesus Christ. To be a sign of conversion, to be a sign of conversation, is to be persona Christi. It is to be in the person of Christ. And in his wisdom, Jesus said, every parish needs at least one. But just so that you don't think, oh, quit, that gets me off the hook. It doesn't at all. Because of your baptism, we are all a royal priesthood. But let me tell you something. As a priest, do you know what gives my heart more joy than anything else? When I've gotten to know someone over time, when we've enjoyed conversation. And in the midst of that conversation, to discover more deeply the kind of conversion that is happening in the life of such a person. People in whom the written word has become the imparted word so that we can be the living word in the world. Your conversion is not over. None of our conversions is yet over. But as we go deeper into Christ, I pray that your conversation will become more and more reflective of what it means to be Christians.